I have other sheep, not of this fold. I must bring them along as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. A paraphrase of our gospel reading this morning on the feast of Saint Theophan the Recluse, died 1894. The Russian Church accounts him to be a father of the modern period. Before the great democratization that occurred, especially following World War II, the world of Ivy League and Seven Sister colleges and universities was mostly something set aside for the upper classes. But following this, two things happened. One was a flood of intellectuals from Europe, especially Russia. And the other was an opening of the doors of these universities to everybody, but on account of the GI Bill. Who could afford to send their son to Princeton if he were a working man? There was a confluence of these threads in the books of J.D. Salinger, which many of us of our age group ran into in high school. I recall the book Franny and Zoe first appearing as stories in the New Yorker magazine in 1955. And there, a spiritual seeker, a young woman named Franny, who went to Wellesley, would attend mixers, social receptions with boys from Ivy League colleges and the other Seven Sister schools. And she would flee from these events, looking for a quiet place where she could open her oxygen supply, which was a little book called The Way of the Pilgrim. And in this little book, this talisman, you might say, this lifeline, she could flee feeling nauseous and suffocated and be revived in its little pages, just a little book. That was my first encounter with Russian Orthodoxy. You see, it was the opposite of sophisticated. It was the opposite of classist. It was the opposite of most Western values. For the figure in it was no more than a peasant, no better or worse than you or me, who had that most precious attainment, which is God's love for him and his love for God. And in this little book, therefore, was great hope that all of the cant, the posturing, the false sophistication of the upper classes could all be discarded, could all be safely ignored. For this pilgrim was indifferent to such things, indifferent to the social imperatives of the time. His pilgrimage was through the world and to the kingdom of heaven, both transcending instances of the world all over the planet, and of course, God transcending all things forever. For many of us, our second encounter with Russian Orthodoxy was Saint Theophan the Recluse. Why? Because though he was born into a family in central Russia in the 19th century, he turned out to be the brilliant, perhaps genius son of a Russian Orthodox priest who was then brought to Kiev, the spiritual capital of Russia, to be trained by the finest theology teachers in the Russian Empire in Kiev. He frequented the Lavra of the caves there. And though he showed aptitude in all fields taught him, he had a special affinity to the things of God. And in this case, with the approval of his family, he continued on to be consecrated a monk and ordained a priest in the finest schools available to him. His first desire was to be a hermit, but but this was disallowed as he was pressed into service as a theology professor. He was sent to Palestine to join the Russian mission there. He had a gift for languages, you see. And he perfected his mastery of Koine Greek in Palestine, in the Holy Land, where he both read and translated the Greek fathers. And this is why he should become the second encounter for many people in the West, because his translation of the Greek fathers was so felicitous that it became the principal life spring for Russians who desired a deep immersion in the early decades and centuries of the church. He took that same sensibility and that same, breathing the atmosphere of the fathers to the Russian Philokalia, which he also published. Unseen Warfare, another book that he published. Both of those would be greatly influential. And in fact, that is where I encountered him when I was in seminary. He opened to me a world of spiritual purity that I had not known, that I had not gotten anywhere else, including in the other jurisdictions of Orthodoxy. And I understood early on what it meant for Franny to open her little book, The Way of the Pilgrim, and to be revived, to be straightened out. There's a rigor, there's a purity in the Russian spirituality that any who have encountered it understand very well. And this is the gift of the Russian Church today, her rigor, her impassivity. She is impassive to the cultures of the world. She is indifferent to social imperatives. She does not seek to bow down before or curry favor with any of the usual patrons who have their demands along with their money. She's very contented to live in her poverty, if poverty is what she is given. And that is where we encountered her. We encountered her as an exile living in the desert. You see, Russian saw successive waves of secularism in the 18th century following the so-called Enlightenment. The Tsar Peter I brought philosophers and scientists from the West attempting to westernize Russia. And then again, in the early 20th century, the Bolsheviks, who were German intellectuals, came into Russia seeking to secularize the entire country. But the repository of that Russian genius for God would remain intact, for they would go into exile, founding a church in the United States who has recently celebrated her 100th year, and it is that church to which we belong. For me, this has been a wonderful and coherent journey, first encountering a little book that I knew to be luminous, that I knew to be a living spring, that I knew to be immune to the diseases of the West, its false intellectualism, its false sophistication, its false classism, and then on to St. Theophany, and then today to become myself a Russian priest like St. Theophany. You see, a wonderful gift from God, for our journey has been through a diseased and broken landscape. A landscape of alienation, a landscape of compromise. Only this week, the Vatican has announced yet another investigation into orgies held in the Cathedral of Newcastle, including boys. This is the world we knew. It still goes on, make no mistake about that. All the headlines in the world should not reassure you that all of this continues to go on. And yet we have found a refuge, not only a hermitage on the edge of the earth and near the end of the day, but fastened to this purity, this clarity, this spiritual rigor, this has no time for the world, has been given to us. We could call it a refuge, but it has another name. It is the church. The church that is stubbornly, adamantinely fastened upon the church that Jesus founded. Her vocation is to protect it. Our vocation is to live in it. I pray that you will welcome many who will find life there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.